goes like wildfire. Good news travels slow. They all call me old wildfire. Everybody knows that I'm bad news. Everywhere I go.
Well, we definitely don't have any bad news, because this is the Good Snap Podcast. It's always good news here on this show. Darnell Sparrow talking to you. On the other side is Antoine. What's going on?
Man, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Man, I had to take him back. I had to take him back with the King. Yes, the King had some songs out. He had Bad News. He had the world's greatest wrestler talking about all the people he beat.
And yeah, that was really good.
And it's appropriate for this show, because we're going to be talking about Memphis wrestling. We're going to be talking about, you know, the legends and what made Memphis so great. Because we've done shows. I mean, this is episode 12, so we still kind of young, but I couldn't go any further. Because, like I said, we both live in Memphis. This is your backyard, so we definitely, it's about that time we had to get that out there. But before we even get the party started, I got to do some plugs and got to talk about Planet Fitness Kickboxing. That's where I go get my workout on every morning, sometimes even in the afternoon. I call it the two-a-days, like they used to say in football. So did a two-a-day today, might take a break tomorrow depending on how my body's feeling, but 35, 45 minutes, pure punches, kicks. Might do a little grind and pound, a little MMA work. You know, they get the abs right for you. You got Raquel, you got Ronnie, you got Nate. All three will get you in the shape that you want to be in. So definitely go check those folks out if you're in this area. 2965 North Germantown Road, Suite 113. You go in there, you let them know that Darnell from the Get Snap Podcast sent you. And I'm telling you something. They even give you free gloves. They give you free wraps. Not a lot of people do that. And you can get in shape for less than $50 a month. You cannot beat that. And also, as always, if you're in the Mount Carmel area, go check out the toy store by Snap Customs. I mean, the man who made Snap Customs possible, man, he made this possible. He's there in Illinois. He's one of the store. That's why he's not on the show as much as he wants to, but when he gets back, we definitely got a show tailor-made for him to talk about, and we're saving that until he gets back. But 930 West 9th Street, Mount Carmel, Illinois, inside 10 Pins Bowling. They were closed today, but they will be back open tomorrow, rise and shine. And Christmas is coming up. No, we've said that many times. Christmas is coming up, so go in there. They got stuff for all ages, from the big kids to the little kids. And earlier today, if you didn't see it on the Snap Cutting Facebook page, you know, Boss Man came on, and you know, we talked about, you know, Christmas is coming up. And you know, for the last couple of years, you know, since we've been on board together, you know, we've been spreading that Christmas cheer, so to speak. We've been either raising money, or we'll go out, get as many gifts as we can. We'll do the Toys for Tots. We'll do stops at hospitals. You know, we'll do facilities wherever we know that kids are, we're there. And that's, again, we're trying to do it again this year. I know, especially with COVID going on, you know, I know it's going to be tough for a lot of people. I know it's going to be tough for a lot of children. So we are looking to raise as much money as we can, and we don't keep none of it. Anything we get is going straight to these kids here in Tennessee, out there in Illinois. So if you're interested in working with us with that, snapcustoms@gmail.com, or go to the Snap Customs Facebook page. You can send us a message. We can definitely give you more information on, you know, how to donate, you know, because every dollar is going to help. Cause I know that's definitely one of our joys, we could say, as far as being a team with Snap Customs. It's, you know, doing what we can for the kids, man. Because, you know, like Martin say, Martin love the kids, but we love the kids too. So we definitely appreciate that. But let's get into the show. Like I said, we talking Memphis wrestling. We talking Memphis wrestling legends. This is your backyard. So I'm going to cut this off with you. I say, you've seen the growth, I would say, wrestling. You've seen people come and go. They get here. Nobody know, but time they left, there were stars, legends, and icons. Why do you think that was possible? What made Memphis that ground as one of the what do they call it, wrestling capital of the world?
Well, I'll say this, you know, like you said, wrestling in Memphis was the absolute mecca. And that's saying a lot. You know, yeah. you had your Madison Square Garden, you know, up north with the WWF, and you know, you had your had the Florida territory with Eddie Graham running it. And then you had the Houston territory with Paul Botch. And then you had World Class with Fritz Von Erich and his kids. And then you had Nick Gulas that ran like the middle of Tennessee on East.
Right.
And also Jerry Jarrett, you know, bought that from him as well. Of course, he made it into what it is today. But out of all of those, Memphis was just the spot to come to. It's a who's who. You know, you had your Andre the Giant even came down here. Could you believe that?
And then that's hard.
Yeah. Right. And then you had Jack Briscoe, you had Harley Race, you had the Universal Heartthrob Austin Idol. Who else? Luke Fez.
There's another guy to have a name, a young Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, young Hulk Hogan.
When the Grand River was his manager, him and Lawler had a few. Then that's one of the things I want to touch on. I think one of those things that made Memphis famous was Lawler, because Lawler was homegrown.
Yep.
Lawler took that fame, took it every promotion he went to, and made a name for himself. Good or heel. Lawler brought those folks to Memphis, and you talk about the wrestling capital of the world. You cannot talk wrestling capital of the world in Memphis without talking about the Mid-South Coliseum. I mean, you said it yourself. Anybody that was anybody, wrestling-wise, music, anybody, you come through Memphis, Tennessee, you're going through the Mid-South Coliseum. I mean, like I said, I had the opportunity to go in it. You know, we went to some shows there before they closed it down. I mean, it just the feel you get, that all you get when you go in there, yeah, it is an old building, but to know that those names went through there, I mean, legends, icons, Hall of Famers, they had some of the best rivalries. Jerry Lawler, a lot of rivalries based with Jerry Lawler went through that Mid-South Coliseum. You're talking about, go back to the Andy Kaufman situation. I mean, you can't forget about that. I talked about a young Hulk Hogan earlier. Go as far up as the Bret Hart feud. That Bret Hart, Jerry Lawler feud, that just didn't go in WWF at the time. They bought it to the NWA.
Exactly. For us, that boomed, you know, in the like I said, the early to mid-90s, it boomed when the WWF started working with us.
I mean, think about that. Bret the Hitman Hart, one of WWF's top stars. I mean, a lot of wrestlers from that organization did come to Memphis, but there wasn't a lot of big names that came. And you got mainly the mid-carders, a lot of names we knew that wasn't really hot yet trying to make names for themselves. But a guy like Bret Hart coming here, I mean, and continuing a few, I mean, that's crazy. But we're going to talk about some more legends came through. And recently, AEW, you know, and you were there for that. I was too. They show love to a lot of Memphis legends. And this is one of those shows where we can go all night talking about it, because there were so many legends, past and present. But, you know, we're just going to just throw some names out there, you know, and just talk about, you know, what made them great. I'm going to go in and start. And I'm not even going to go wrestler first. I'm going to go with two people. I'm going to go with the voices of Memphis wrestling, Dave Brown, Lance Russell. What made them great?
What made Lance Russell and Dave Brown great was their chemistry.
Exactly.
They had good chemistry together. You know, we all know that familiar line Lance Russell come out to. He go, you know, welcome to another big day of championship wrestling. You know, we got a great card for you. Everybody remembers that line.
Yellow, everyone.
Hey, wrestling fans. Yeah. Right.
And what people got to understand, yeah, Lance Russell, another one that don't get the credit I think he deserves as far as announcing.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely the voice for Memphis, just like Gordon Solie was the voice for those Florida, Mid-Atlantic territories.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Russell was the voice. And what a lot of people probably don't know, Dave Brown was the weatherman for Channel 5 on the news station. So think about that. Weatherman, right. Wrestling commentator for years.
And it worked. It clicked.
And it worked. Like and they could,
machines.
And the good part, they could do a show by themselves. They were doing that before Joey Styles was ever doing it. Like 1 week, want to be gone, want to do it by themselves, especially in those late 70s,
mm-hmm.
like CWA days. Like,
right.
They weren't always together, but they still made it work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like every wrestler that came through, like when they got with Lance interview-wise, it's like you knew you were standing next to greatness.
Exactly.
And he made a lot of those wrestlers look good as well.
You know the one that stands out to me the most with Lance Russell?
Who's that?
Was him and Terry Funk.
Oh,
him and Terry Funk. Man, you talk about intense. Terry Funk, he would go to Lance Russell, Lance would just like, come on, Terry, that's enough, you know. And Terry just yell at him and scream and sometimes even cuss at him. Yes, he has cussed on Memphis Wrestling.
Oh, yeah, many times. And you know mm-hmm. what? We're going to lead right into that. Terry Funk, truly legend, high icon, one of the most dangerous men in wrestling. You talk about a dude when he came through here. And, I mean, he stayed on Lance Russell. He couldn't stand Lawler, mm-hmm. especially when they feuded over that world heavyweight title. I remember was in the 99 when he put the bounty out on him.
Right.
We were like 91. When he mm-hmm. was really heavy in Memphis. I mean, he was still in other promotions. He was still doing WCW stuff around that time, if I'm not mistaken. But he came mm-hmm. to Memphis. I know when him and Lawler got together, including that infamous empty arena match, which I never understood why Lawler wore all white for that match, but that's a whole nother story.
Right. Oh, yeah. I remember that vividly. Even though I was 4 years old, I look back on it, and that was a first. You see, companies now doing empty arena matches, if you notice.
Yeah, and there are a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. And so they were the founding fathers of the empty arena match. And
fights, all that.
Mm-hmm. And the one that stood out to me in that match was when Terry Funk took a piece of that wood off the stairs. I mean, he busted the top part of it off and tried to stab Lawler in the eye. That was a first, you know, to see some that violent, you know, try to commit on somebody like that.
But you know, it worked. Especially with Terry Funk being the lunatic. When they talk about that middle-aged and crazy, that wasn't no storyline. That pretty much was him. But let's talk about another guy. So he's one of my personal favorites. Talking about Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, another guy that had crazy feuds with everybody. But, you know, he came down to Memphis. And he got with Lawler with the car incident. And then, you know, he beat Lawler for the world title. Then he wanted to become king. I mean, what was so great about Eddie? But you know what? I'll answer that first. I think one thing I liked about Eddie, he had swag before swag was even invented. Eddie mm-hmm. Gilbert was one of them dudes. He knew he was good. He knew it.
Yep.
And he one of the guys, he whether he was good or bad, he knew how to come in He wanted to be the heel. He knew how to do it. He knew if I'm going to be one of the top heels, I need to go after the king, period. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Then he had his brother, Dangerous Doug, then his father, Tommy Gilbert. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they came through Memphis, mm-hmm. when he became king and he won that world heavyweight title, I mean, that really set him off. I mean, he died so soon because I really think he still had a lot to offer the business. I started seeing Eddie Gilbert early back in those UWF days when he had, it was him, it was a young Sting, Rick Steiner, and Missy Hyatt.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I really got to know. He used to come out the Hot Stuff by Donna Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Which at that time fit him perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was just a shame, you know, he passed away the way he did. Because I know, correct me if I'm wrong, he was even booking that one time. Or was that just in ECW?
He booked in Memphis for a little bit, and then he booked in ECW. And, I think a little bit of the UWF, too.
I loved it when they had the USWA versus Global gimmick or storyline when he came with the Global title and they was trying to take over.
Yeah.
I know that really put him over. Well, let's jump on to another guy. I'm going to go back on this one. I know this is probably going for really both our times, but it's one of those things we have to talk about just because of how good he was, how he was over, and he had one of the coolest names or coolest nicknames, I would say, ever. And I'm talking about Sputnik Monroe.
Oh, the Diamond and Cadillac Man.
Yes.
You know, go ahead.
Now, I want people to understand this man, when you talk about being the gimmick, he was definitely that, because when you think of somebody calling himself the Diamond and Cadillac Man, and when you see him, because he kind of had a combination of a lot of people. Had a combination of like Ric Flair, kind of had that of the original Gorgeous George.
Mm-hmm.
But he, I mean, you talk about styling and profiling. I mean, this dude was selling out shows, and this was way before, this was around with like the 50s and the 60s. Mm-hmm. I mean, he ran shop first here, but he don't get that namesake like Lawler does. I mean, and the thing about it, he was selling out arenas, and he was one of those guys that kind of fixed it. And I don't know if you knew this. I'm probably sure you do, because you remember the old Ellis Auditorium. And I'm going way back.
Oh, yeah, going way back there.
The old Ellis Auditorium used to be segregated.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the ones that fixed that, because he didn't like the fact that black and whites were separated.
Yeah, he refused to wrestle. And he was the top name.
And he refused to wrestle. Now, think about that. Think about that back then. This man used to sell out the Ellis Auditorium, 15,000 people. And he would not wrestle because he saw whites and blacks separate. He didn't like that, and he made it known. And he was the one that really fixed that issue. And that was a lot of. I mean, again, the man used to come out with the fur coats and the rings and everything.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, he was a very, very focal point in Memphis wrestling. He really changed the culture of it, and also he changed the racial, you know, it was the divide, like you said, between black and white.
I mean, think about it. The whites were able to sit on the floor, but the blacks had to sit in the balcony, and he wasn't happy.
No, he wasn't. He made that very clear. He said, if you don't have them sit, you know, in front, you know, he said, I will not wrestle. And Sputnik Monroe was a big name at the time before Jerry Lawler and everybody else came through. And he refused to do it. And I commend Sputnik for that. He changed the whole landscape at that time.
And then he did something. And he went in jail for this. He used to go to black bars And he actually, he used to patronize with, you know, the black patrons, give out tickets to shows. At one point, he was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Then he hired a black attorney.
Yep. That's right.
I mean, think about that. Especially in that time frame. And he still got over.
Yep.
I said he died in, I believe, 2007, six. I'm sorry. He was 77 years old at the time. But like I said, he was definitely a big influence. I mean, think about it. He debuted in 1945 and retired in 88. I mean, do the math.
Right.
That's a long time to be active wrestling. That's a long time.
Right.
Let's talk about another one. Now, this guy, I mean, he one of the guys where you could feel the energy. You could feel it when he came through the room, good or bad. Talking about that guy from New York City.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Had the whole theme song up. I'm talking about the handsome one himself, Handsome Jimbo from Memphis, the mm-hmm. Boogie Woogie Man, the Boogie Man, or how he used to say it, Jimmy Valiant.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about somebody with some energy. Had really no wrestling moveset.
Mm-mm.
But he was so over with the fans. Why do you think that's what it was with Jimmy?
Yeah, like you said, man, he was over with the fans. And my mother, she loves her some Handsome Jimmy Valiant. That was her fave. She used to tell me stories before, you know, after I was born later. That every time Handsome Jimmy, she almost lost it. And either with the beard or without. Man, Handsome Jimmy was just that guy that he, you couldn't help but to like him. He was just that natural face. You couldn't turn him heel. Now, granted, he was heel up in New York. But to me, I thought he was a natural baby face.
Yeah, oh, he's definitely a natural baby face. Now, I remember he had a little small feud with Lawler, and he wanted to team up with him and saw some innocence like that. Now I saw a lot of Jimmy Valiant mainly in the mm-hmm. NWA. Mm-hmm. No, I take that back. I saw him in Mid-South. So I remember when him and Butch Reed was a team, and Butch Reed mm-hmm. turned on him.
Which I kind of Butch he didn't play well with others sometimes. Well, you know,
it's when Butch was an over baby face. Can think about it. Yeah, he turned on.
Uh-huh.
And I believe he either cut his beard or cut his hair, but one of the two. But yeah, I said, Jimmy Van, like, I got a chance to meet him, I think about a year and a half or so ago. And just to shake his hand, and I explained to my son, I'm like, you understand who this man is? Because, you know, we go to a lot of those USA Championship Wrestling shows, they bring in legends and Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was definitely there. I mean, still one of the nicest people you ever want to meet. I know he's older now, but if you look at him now and then look at him then, it's like looking at two different people.
Like, he's down to earth.
Back then.
Mm-hmm.
And now he real skinny. Like I said, he's older now. Now, he'll probably row like every now and then, but probably don't do too much, but he can still give you that energy though.
Yeah, he still got that, no doubt.
Yeah, you still gotta love him. But let's talk about the Rock and Roll Express. I mean, it's 2020 and they still going. What was it, about a year and a half ago they won the NWA tag titles?
That was what, for the ninth time?
Yep. So I mean think about it. Lawler bought them all.
Yeah, Lawler. See, that's another thing too. He brought certain wrestlers along. He made up gimmicks, and which I didn't know, he actually made up the Bruise Brothers.
Yeah,
he came up with that. Now I'm gonna tell you about that one. It was the team. It was Porkchop Cash,
legend, and Mad Dog. Yep, I got to meet him.
Yeah, and Mad Dog. They came out. They had the suits like the Blues Brothers. Yep. You know, they had the briefcase with the Bruise Brothers on the Halliburton, and they had Jimmy Hart's day manager just before Ron and Don Harris came in. But there was two versions of them. There was those guys, and there was Ron and Don Harris. And they was vicious. The Bruise Brothers were. They people hated them. The crowd couldn't stand the Bruise Brothers. As you know, especially with Jimmy Hart right there, that just made it worse.
Oh no, if you was rolling with Jimmy Hart, oh no, you was is not gonna be like just by association alone. But we're going back to the Rock and Roll Express thing we was talking about. Right. I mean, think about this. 2020, they still going and haven't even looked like they missed a step, especially Ricky.
Right.
I mean, look like Ricky is kind of on that Dustin Rhodes kick. Like, the older I get, you know, it's just like I got that second win.
It's like that fine wine, you know.
It's like that fine wine.
Yeah.
And the thing that they had a period where they broke up. Now, guys, a lot of tag teams break up, get back together. But how they broke up in WCW, I know, granted,
Robert got injured.
I said, granted, Robert got injured and Ricky, he tried it. But like I said, you was Richard Morton, but you still dressed in that Rock and Roll Express gimmick. Right. You rest in the gears. You can't get to go away. But again, you talk about a team who just was just over with the fans, and they knew how to get them over.
Right.
And then, like I said, Lawler was pretty much the creator. He the one who got them to wear the gear that they're wearing, still wearing it to this day. I mean, winning tag championships no matter where they went.
Mm-hmm. Still can go.
And still can go. And like I said, they're going to be at the Jerry Lawler event September 26th, where they will be main eventing with Jerry Lawler, which I can't wait to see. And it's going to be in Thunder Cage. Mm. Doug Gilbert, Matt Riviera, and Wildfire Tommy Rich is the opposing team. I definitely cannot wait for that. See, I just plugged the event just right there. Just talking about the team, man. We talking about legend. Like I said, we talked about Doug Gilbert. We talked about Eddie. Tommy Rich was a legend. But I got a pop quiz for you. Now, they always said that Tommy Rich is the youngest NWA heavyweight champion, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Being that false. Do you know who is the youngest NWA heavyweight champion? Chris Candido.
Chris Candido.
Yeah, Chris Candido is the youngest NWA heavyweight champion.
I did not know that.
I did, because I was looking up, so I was doing a little research, and I said, well, who's the youngest? Yeah, but he won it at 22.
So then he had just 19, 20?
Okay, they say he's the youngest. So, then he might have won it by just beat him. But yeah, they have Chris Candido as the youngest.
Okay.
And like I said, he's another one still going. But let me ask you this. As far as wrestling goes, Tommy-wise, was he better as a heel or a babyface?
I think he can actually work both. He can work both because when Tommy Rich first came out, you know, he started in Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Yep.
That's what he's really known for. I mean, he just had the look. He was just that – you couldn't help but to like Tommy Rich. You know, he just had that baby face look to him. And also, when he came to Memphis, he also worked both. But he was better as a heel in Memphis because, of course, I mentioned in the previous podcast about what happened when he did, you know, help Austin Idol in that cage match against Jerry Lawler when Jerry Lawler got his head shaved. And they really hated Tommy's guts after that. But, yeah, he can work both baby and heel.
And see, now he's going around. You know, he's a heel now. Then he had the little short haircut. And I'm so used to seeing him with the long hair. And he got it kind of short. It looked kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he's older now. He definitely gets a get-out-of-jail-free card on that one.
Yeah, when he was younger, he had kind of short hair. He had a lot of short and then long when he got, like, when he won the NWA title. I think he had a little bit of short hair. Yeah, he grows it out sometimes, and, you know, he don't know what to do with it, but, you know.
Now, a lot of people won't consider this next one a Memphis legend, but if you go back and look at it, he was definitely one, because I believe if he didn't come to Memphis, he probably wouldn't have got as over as he got with time. I'm talking about Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah.
But you gotta think about, because you got to think about at the time, you know, he was wrestling for his father's promotion at the time. And then when he came to Memphis,
he teamed up with his brother Leaping Lanny.
Yep. He teamed up with Lanny. They had feuds with Lawler. And you could really see back then the greatness in Savage. You saw it. Like I said, when he had the case, all that y'all saw in WWF with the capes and the headbands, and that was he was doing that way before. I mean, you felt that greatness coming out of Savage.
When he was in his father's promotion, he wore like the jeans and the boots and t-shirts and all that, and had to, of course, he had the glasses and the headband. When he came to Memphis, that's when you saw the robes.
That's when you saw the robe, and you could just hear when he was cutting those promos. Like you just saw that greatness just oozing out of Savage. You saw it.
You saw it, right?
And then it was, I believe, 94, 95 ish. Might be a little mate when he came back and he actually won the Unified World Title. I mean, he held it very briefly.
It was brief, yeah.
Which, you know, that kind of was that thing we talked about earlier. Coming through, you know, Lawler gonna do one or two things. He's gonna be to make you look good and you'll win the title, or he'll make you look good. You'll still get beat, but you'll still look good.
Good coming out of it, right?
I mean, so many names we can talk about. You know,
we'll be all night doing this. Yeah,
be all night. But I want to talk about the late Brian Christopher real quick. Yeah. I mean, it was tragic how he died, and it's just amazing. You know, it's only been it's been 2 years. It don't even feel like 2 years.
No, it don't.
And the good part about Brian, like I said, because for those who don't know, he's real Brian Christopher. That's his first and middle name. He just cut the law out. When he was in Memphis. But he's another guy. You talk about, you know, getting over. He got over on his own. Man, we all knew who he was. I mean, he looked just like Jerry. I mean, you got to be an idiot not to know. You know, that was Jerry Lawler's son. I said, he got over, you know, being the too sexy. You know, I'm going to go back and correct me if I'm wrong, because he started out as a new kid. What did he not?
Yeah, he was they were called the New Kids. They came out to Hanging Tough by New Kids on the Block, him and Tony Williams. And they actually became tag champs. And yeah, that's how he started. Yeah, he started as a tag team with Tony Williams. They were called the New Kids, and they came out to Hanging Tough by New Kids on the Block.
I said, then you saw that transition over to Too Sexy.
He became that when he turned on Tony Williams.
Right. And so doing his own thing. And he did that for years and years and years until Too Cool came along.
Mm-hmm.
Just revitalized, and he pretty much was Grandmaster Sexay pretty much the rest of his career till he passed.
Yep.
And he was another one, especially here in Memphis. You talked about, you know, getting over with the crowd. The only thing about Brian was one of those ones, he cut those long promos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he cut some long promos. I don't know, they would tell him that to you know, heal some time, but especially when he was healed. I remember one instance he came out, when he came out with the wagon with all those belts he had?
Yeah, I remember that. That's what he was known for, to carry all them belts. Yeah.
He was like the Texas heavyweight champion, the Southern heavyweight champion. Then he was like the tag of me, like four by belt. And that stuff he legitimately won.
Mm-hmm.
And he pretty much was the USWA heavyweight champion. Every time I turn around, he had it. Lawler carried around the Unified title.
That's right.
So they pretty much ran the USWA. Now, I go back to another question about him. Was he a better heel or babyface?
I think he was, to be honest, really. Now, he can work babyface, don't get me wrong. Now, it depends on who you're talking to. Now, if it's Grandmaster Sexay, he's a better babyface. Now, if he's too sexy, Brian Christopher, he's a better heel.
Okay.
See? Now, the reason I say that is because, see, Grandmaster, you know, he gets the crowd hype dancing, doing the Thriller and doing the shuffle and, doing the Thriller dance and all that stuff. He gets the crowd hype. Now, when he's too sexy, he's that arrogant, no good, type guy, that he'd like to piss people off.
And so think about it
depends on the gimmick, right?
And, we talked about Jerry Lawler was winning, belts 56 times and 300. I mean, he was a USWA champion 26 times.
Mm-hmm.
26 times. But again, the people that he beat, well, he either got them over or they got over based off that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he pretty much was a Grand Slam champion at USWA. I mean, he was the USWA champion, the junior heavyweight champion, Southern champion, the Texas champion, World Tag Team champion. And then he was the GWF, which at the time I believe was affiliated with the USWA. He did that twice. That's just promotion.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just disappointed that he wasn't a multiple time WWF Tag Team Champion. But they sure should have won those titles more, especially around that time how over they were.
Right. It then added Rikishi to the mix.
Right.
That really elevated them even more. So, yeah, they definitely should have been multi-time champs. No doubt about it.
And like I said, he was one of those guys that was homegrown.
Mm-hmm.
He claimed Memphis. He claimed it well. And like I said, it's just tragic that, he left us. 2 years ago, I was at the Brian Chris Memorial they did in Jackson. I mean, it was sad.
They
represented him well.
But yeah, I actually worked with him in one of the shows. I think it was in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And I was managing somebody at the time, and I was. You pretty much, work with him, and he was just such a great dude, man. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to wrestling. Don't think that all the rumors you hear about him. No, he was a great dude, man. He was he knows what he's talking about as far as wrestling goes. He's not a simp.
I do think he got a bad rap in the business.
I think he did. The dude gets smart. He got the mindset for wrestling. He knows what he's talking about. You just listen to him, and then, you can go a long way. No doubt about it.
Now, do you think Too Cool should be in the WWE Hall of Fame? Now I'm going to ask that in two parts. Do you think Too Cool should be in the WWE Hall of Fame? And do you think Rikishi should have went in with Too Cool and not by himself?
Yeah, I think, as far as their gimmicks went, it's Hall of Fame because people don't realize Too Cool was way over back then,
way
over. So for that alone, they should be in the Hall of Fame. Rikishi with them, because Rikishi is the one that actually took it a step up when they came there. I mean, when he came to them, you know what I'm saying? With the dancing, they always danced at the end of the matches, And Rikishi, doing his things. Sitting there just patting, sitting there slapping his behind and everything, So, I agree they should be there.
Now, since we're talking about Too Cool, I know you remember this, and probably a lot of our listeners probably don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, because, this happened around when they started doing Memphis Wrestling. They were doing the Home of Rhythm and Bruise. Yes, it was a second version of Too Cool. Talk about that.
Oh, Too Cool too, Tim and Flex. Man, let me tell you something about these guys. These guys was entertaining. They were, don't get me wrong. That mean they came out to the instrumental of a Little Flip Game Over, and people ate it up. They ate it up. And you know, they talk, and then, you know, Flex, he always ends with his, that's the business, dog. It just caught on. You know, they used to try to talk that street slang and talking about they from the hood and they gonna get ganked and this and that. You know, it was funny. It was entertaining. And
I think about that. I think Tim at one time, excuse me, he was doing a whole nother gimmick. Like, he just flipped and joined Too Cool Too, because he was doing almost like a, and correct me if I'm wrong, almost like a Hunter Hearst Helmsley type gimmick, was he not?
Yeah, he did. I forgot that name. It was the funniest name.
Like Mr. Congenial or something like that? Mr. Compulsive.
That's it.
And he was Mr. Compulsive. Then you got Flex. You know, that kind of speaks for itself, the gimmick he was doing. And then they reformed. They formed and did Too Cool Too. Then they tried to add Kevin White, and they did the Too Cool Starter Kit.
Oh, gosh. And Kevin White came out to, you know, Like the Way You Move by the Outkast.
Yeah, that's when Brian Christopher actually came back, and they had they feuded over that.
Yeah, that's right.
He did probably one of the worst Crip Walks that ever lived.
Because he looked like he was trying to step over something he couldn't.
Right, I'm like, you know, he doing lateral hop back and forth.
Right, that's right.
Now you mentioned a name earlier, but we definitely gotta mention it again. Talking about the Universal Heartthrob, Austin Idol. I mean, the dude, he was one of those dudes again who knew he was good. He knew how to style, he knew how to profile, he loved the ladies.
Mm-hmm. He always said the women's regret, you know, the men's regret. That's what he always said.
Yeah. I said he flexed around, man. He came here. I mean, he was winning championships. But wasn't he responsible for getting a lot of head shaved?
Yeah, he was the one. He was that guy that, man, they almost started a riot, what he did himself. Yeah, he the one that got Lawler's head shaved when Tommy Rich came in the ring. And they both beat him up. Because, see, remember, Tommy Rich was a babyface.
Right.
And then to see him come up from under the ring and attack Jerry Lawler, you know, helping Austin Idol out, man, that was crazy. Because, now, I thought fans were going to go over that rail.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want people to understand that. And that's something that wasn't very common back then. Especially in the Mid-South Coliseum, anything bad that happened to Lawler when he was a babyface would start a riot easily. And that was definitely one of them. And yeah, that's one of those events. It was so crazy. They still, between that and the car incident.
Yeah.
They still talking about that. I don't know if you saw it, but they showed the video on USA Championship Wrestling when they had an incident, I believe, that situation either happened again or came close to happening again with Matt Riviera.
The picture.
Yeah, I believe they did. They redid the car incident. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. So they must have did this probably when everybody was gone. So you see Matt Riviera with his guys, Boy Bradford and Ron Ratcatcher. And if you don't know who Ron Ratcatcher is, just think of Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. That's Ron Ratcatcher. Oh, and it showed Lawler, he's coming out the building. Here comes Doug. It was Doug and Tommy and all of them in the truck. Then when they showed it getting close, of course, they went to boo, and they just kind of left it at that.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't actually show them, you know, flipping on the car like before.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was wild. But we're going back to Austin Idol and what he did. I mean, he was in great shape, big dude. I mean, he can go in that ring. But again, you coming through Memphis, you went after the top dog.
Yep. And he was the inaugural CWA champion.
Yes. And back then, and that's to me, that's when he had the belt that when you got in your collection, that ugly rectangle belt.
Exactly. Yeah.
That was part of one of the. Now, I got a lot of belts in my collection. And I know as when he got some in his, but that probably for one of the ugliest belts there were. But that CWA belt back then was like, I mean, it was a heavyweight championship, but it was that company belt. And that was your segue to. You know, back then it was still the AWA, World Heavyweight. Mm-hmm. That's when the AWA and CWA was merging. So you saw the AWA Southern tags come down, the CWA tags. I mean, that's when a lot of championships. Then they had the Southern Heavyweight belt, that little bitty belt, which they still use today. And that's crazy. They still use that model belt. And even back then, like, I have the Mid-South Louisiana title, which I'm actually holding it now. I wish I had a camera so everybody could see it. I say it pretty much was the same bill, same everything, except instead of it saying Southern Heavyweight Champion, it says Louisiana State Wrestling Champion, and one of the plates just have the Louisiana logo on it. And when we talk about title belts, once Boss Man come back, this is going to be definitely one of the belts that I'm definitely going to discuss. But Jeff said he was one of those guys. He like I said, he was CWA champion. He was a great one.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, Austin Idol has his own wrestling school now.
Yep.
Austin Idol's Universal Wrestling College.
Yep, that is legit. I mean, you go there, is it in Florida, if I'm not mistaken?
I think it's in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but that's one of those guys. You want to learn the game, you want to definitely learn from him. But let's talk about guys. You know, we talked about a lot of legends. But let's talk about guys that, you know, I think never really got the push. I think they deserve. So I'm going to be – so this is – I'll probably be pushing more forward. And like I said, we talked about him earlier on one of the other podcasts. And like I said, they should be in the Memphis Wrestling Hall of Fame. And if they need to do it on this next round, we talked about PG-13. Now, for those who have no idea who we're talking about, I want you to picture this. Two white boys, right? Two white boys dressed like rappers. They wore hubcaps to the ring. And they were from the hood. When they debuted, when they came to the USWA, and maybe you can explain it better. I mean, was that like a breath of fresh air?
Yeah, because it was something different. Because, you know, you had the normal tag teams, you know, they had the regular tights on and the, you know, and the jacket, you know, like from back in the day. But you see PG-13 come in, you like, wow, this is different, you know. They kind of going off the Vanilla Ice type of vibe, you know?
Right.
And, you know, they had the hubcaps and the Jordan sneakers and the vests and, you know, all that stuff. They had the glasses, you know, they just had that look like, wow, this looked like an actual tag team we can get behind. You know what I mean? And they were so over then. Oh, my goodness.
When they lost a Loser Leaves Town match and they came back. As the Cyberpunks.
Yeah, they were Cyberpunks, yeah.
And for those who don't know who we're talking about, I'm going to back up a little bit. We're talking about Wolfie D and JCI, a.k.a. Jamie Dundee. Again, shout out to him for sharing the Gets in That podcast on his page. Definitely appreciate that. I mean, we even had a chance to see him live and work with him at a Mid-South All-Star Wrestling promotion when he was doing the convict gimmick. And I remember he came up to us, introduced himself, like, I'm Jamie Dundee. We're like, we know you. We know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he was very cool with us, definitely very cordial. But like I said, you're talking about two white guys dressing like rappers, had their own little, I'll say, rap spiel to say who they are. And they were like one of the founding fathers, if not the founding fathers of the Nation of Domination. What do you call it? The Memphis chapter?
Yeah, they was the Memphis chapter of the Nation of Domination. And I want to touch on that for just a second.
Go ahead. It's part of here.
All right. We going to PG-13. Yeah. Now, they were the leaders of the Nation of Domination in the Memphis chapter. Because you remember, Farouk actually called in to check on his chapter, you know.
Right.
And so, I don't know if you want to talk about this on the next podcast about the names that they were given.
Oh, no. Let's do that.
You want to do that?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. We're going to start off with the one I thought that was the most ridiculous name. I look back on it now, I think it was a joke. But back then, it was something real huge then. You know, because the Nation of Domination was in Memphis. I mean, it was a WWF. You had Crush, Savio Vega, Farouk. This was before The Rock and all them turned into like a militant group, you know. And so you had Reggie B. Fine. You had Miss Texas was Jackie. Miss Jackie. You had the Spellbinder. Huh?
You got to back up. See, we going to do this.
We got to do it right.
We got to do this right. We got to put this on the map because I want the people to understand where we're coming from. So you said Reggie B. Fine.
Reggie B. Fine, yeah.
He was Kareem Olajuwon.
That's right. I was going to go to that. I was just going to name him out, then go back.
Oh, all we got to do is I got the list in front of me. So we had Mo from Men on the
Mohammed.
Yeah, Sir Mohammed. Then we had the big black dog. He was
Akeem Muhammad, right?
We had the Spellbinder, who another
Elijah.
Guy I didn't think got a lot of respect.
Mm-hmm.
We had
he was Elijah.
He said was Queen Moesha.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did say that. We had Randy Hales, was Randy X.
Oh God!
And we had my personal favorite. That's why I haven't said it yet. We had Tracy Smothers, who was known as
Shaquille Ali.
Yes, and you couldn't say that without laughing. Because I remember the late Corey Macklin, which, again, another Memphis legend where a lot of people want to argue that point or not. He was.
You know what? You know, J.C. Ice almost actually had him join the Nation. And you know what he was going to name him? Malcolm Macklin.
He should have did it just on that plan. He should have did it. But now I want y'all to picture all those names we just said. I remember Corey Macklin said, what is this, the NBA?
Yeah, he was laughing. You could see him when he said Kareem Olajuwon. He kind of turned his head and said, what is this, the NBA? Yeah.
I said Shaquille Ali was my favorite. But still, I remember when I got a chance to meet him, when I met you, I told him, I said, you know you still my favorite Nation member, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did this guy and these guys back then, when the Nation was out, I mean, all they did was just interrupt matches. That's all they did. So, and then Wolfie D ended up, out of all of them, Wolfie D ended up becoming USWA champion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at it back then and just look at it, you'll never think it would have worked.
Especially the song they had. You know, they actually rapped the theme song.
Right. That's it. They rapped the theme song, which, if you listen to it note word for word, it was catchy.
Right.
And I said it didn't get over until it got to WWF. Because I figured they probably thought it wasn't gonna work.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned, you know, Farouk called in. Did he ever come to Memphis? Did he ever go to the Channel 5 studio?
I think, if I remember correctly, it was that one time. I think he had Crush and Savio with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he didn't have like the entire crew like he did in WWF, but I think it was just those two, if I'm correct. It was just that one time. he wanted to check on his chapter, see, you know, who was in, he to see if he would approve of them. You know what I mean?
Now, a lot of people don't know. Like I said, we got all those guys we named, you know, were, you know, definitely Memphis legends in the UWA. Like I said, we mentioned Mo at the time, and on the mission was broke up, was pretty much done. I believe around this time, Mabel was USWA champion right at the time when this nation thing was kicking off.
Right.
And then we had somebody else that's in the nation that we can't call him a Memphis legend because this is pretty much where he got his start. I'm talking about The Rock.
That's right.
I mean, he was a USWA tag team champion with another guy that I don't think got a lot of respect or didn't get his due. With a Flash Flanagan?
Flash Flanagan, yeah, he was definitely didn't get his, you know, didn't get the credit he deserved.
And since we on that note, we gotta talk about the Godfather, comma. He was a Memphis legend. And he was Soul Taker.
He was the Soul Taker, that's right.
I mean, had a damn good feud with Law over that Unified title.
Mm-hmm.
Our man Johnson, I mean, he had a short run here. Yep. He was actually Unified Champion. Owen Hart, Unified Champion.
Bret Hart, Unified Champion. I remember Giant Gonzalez coming through here. Remember that?
Yep. After Giant Gonzalez came through. I mean, I remember when he had a good, he had a hard feud with Kamala over that belt. Sid.
Oh, my goodness.
So I remember when he damn near killed Jamie Dundee. When that young Jamie Dundee, man, he was still in those. In that reference period, and he was just trying to come up.
Right.
I mean, we can go all night just talking about, you know, people that came through here. We talking about legends, and there's a lot of them we were just shooting off the dome.
Right.
But like I said, we talked about it. When they do another Memphis Wrestling Hall of Fame, definitely PG-13 need to go. That they need to definitely go in that list. I wouldn't mind seeing the whole nation in.
Yeah. But you know, everybody wants to do the Memphis chapter, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I say we could do it little by little, but you know, they definitely need to go in. Because like I said, they were definitely a strong presence, I would say. I say heel or babyface. I mean, they fought a lot of great teams. Mm-hmm. And they weren't even big guys, especially Jamie.
Right.
But they definitely need to go in. But we got a few more minutes left before we get out of here for tonight. Again, we definitely appreciate you guys, you know, listening to the podcast. I know we go on a little late, but you know, like I said, we got lives. So we try to come on. You can definitely go back and listen to this. You can go on different platforms and listen to this. If you want to hear it on Anchor, go to anchor.fm/snapcustoms. Or like I said, you got other social media platform to listen to, just type in Get Snap Podcast. 9 times out of 10, we are definitely there. And go tell a friend. And also, if you want to be a guest on the show, shoot us a message on the Facebook page, or again, snapcustoms@gmail.com. We would love to have you, wrestler, promoters. I mean, if you have some affiliated with wrestling that you want to share with us, if you're an upcoming wrestler, you want to get your name out there, I mean, hit us up. Because one thing about us, we definitely want to get wrestlers' names out there, especially on that indie scene, because right now it's a little hard for a lot of people to do what they want to do to get over, but that's why we're here. And soon, like I've talked to a lot of guys that you and I both, you know, worked with, you know, back in our TAJJ, TCW days. I'm definitely going to get Adam Dunn on here.
Mm-hmm.
I already talked to, you know, a few of the wrestlers. They definitely want to do it. We got a lot that I would like people to know about. And also, you know, on that note, if you want us to profile you on the Snap Customs page, you know, send us some photos, you know, send us a bio, you know, who you are, where you're from, how much you weigh, the companies you work for, championships that you've won, you know, and just a bio of, you know, how you got started, why you love this business, know, who would you like to wrestle in the near future? Who inspired you? Stuff like that. You know, if you want that done, like I said, send us a picture, send us a bio, want some information, or you know, shoot us an email and say, hey, I would like for you to do a profile on me. I'll send you what I would like to know. I'll take it from there because I do the write-up form. And it helped a couple of wrestlers, believe it or not. It helped a couple of wrestlers, you know, really get more bookings. Especially one, Hold My Beer Hansen, you know, young guy that's only been wrestling for a couple of years. But as soon as we did a profile on him, boom. Especially in that the Georgia area, he definitely got booked. So we're here for you. We're here to help you out. So definitely, like I said, shoot us a message and we got you. But before we get out of here, once again, anything you want to put out to the snap, our gift snap people?
Just to once again, you know, we're going to pray for the people in the surrounding areas that got hit by the storm. And, you know, they're still recovering and we're going to still pray for them. Hopefully everybody gets up back on their feet. And I said, once again, let's pray for that this COVID goes away as soon sooner rather than later. Take care of yourself. Wear your mask. Listen to your officials. Do what they, you know, because they're here to protect you. This is for your protection. And so,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely for protection. I said, if you're out, you know, they got some wrestling shows out there. Go support them.
Yeah,
support I know a lot of people doing like drive-in type shows, or if you're out, you know, they're trying to do what they can with social distancing, but go out there and support them. I mean, a lot of these independent wrestlers, you know, like I said, they want to get their name out there. They want to get their most merch sold. They want to entertain. So you out in the area where there's an event going on, I mean, please go support it, because right now independent wrestling definitely needs us.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely do that. And that's another thing. If you got shows, if you know anybody has shows that's coming up, send us an email, send us the flyer. We will post that. This is a pro wrestling podcast, but we can still talk about other things. But this is what we do. This is what we love, and we want to get companies out there. We want to get wrestlers known. We want to have fun doing it. That was the purpose of us making this podcast, because there's a lot of wrestling to talk about. We definitely want to talk about it. And on that note, we're about to shut it down for the night. We definitely appreciate you guys listening to us. We will definitely be back soon. I'm Darnell Sparrow. We got Antoine on the other side. This has been the Gear Snap Podcast. And as always, on Facebook, we say stay snap. But on this podcast, we're saying get snap. We out of here.
Peace.